I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn is on medical leave. I'm broadcasting live from our Odyssey Studios in Houston, Texas. Can I say howdy, partner?
Oh, yeah, you can say it. I'm not going to respond to that, but sure.
Come on, in New York, you can't respond to howdy, partner. Ed. Yeah. You're going to love this, man. So I get to the building this morning. Big dude, black guy. Looked in. He said, "You from Dundalk or Essex?"
Oh, really?
He said, "They said some guy from Baltimore was coming." I said, "Yeah, I said, we'll let you in." He said, "I'm a big fan of The Wire." He starts talking about sections in Baltimore. And, dude, he said what he got from Wire, watching The Wire, was, he said, "I know the crime is ridiculous in Baltimore, man. I wish someday you guys get that together because I feel like it could be a great city." This is what the guy said. He's never been to Baltimore. He said, "But what I got from Baltimore from watching The Wire is you guys are hustlers, survivors, and you do whatever you got to do to make life work for you." I said, "That's what you got from The Wire?" I said, "That's what they got from The Wire." And he was laughing because he said, "You say two and blue
and Flacco."
He said, "Baltimore seems like it's just a brilliant city that just can't get it right." I'm telling you, he was in awe.
Smart guy.
And he's never been there before.
Yeah.
He said, "You know, I'm watching, you know, the crab cakes. I was reading up on the crab cakes." He said, "Everywhere else you go, crab cakes, it's like it's an appetizer." He said, "In Baltimore, it's a meal." I said, "No, it's part of the meal, man. It's the main entree. And it's not an appetizer." I said, "You might get steak and cake, but it's part of the meal. It's not an appetizer." He was just fascinated by it. His name is Brazil. He said he wants to get there one day just to see some of the places. I said, "You don't want to go visit the places from the Wire, man. I don't want to visit those places." I said, "I tell you what, you give me a holler, I'll show you around, but we're not going there."
Yeah, I got to visit them all yesterday. I was going through a sales call, and I went through the city, and I'm like, "Yeah, this is my town." It's like it was such a sad little place we have here. But, you know, you tell them as long as you can see the water, he's okay.
That's what I told him.
That's about it.
Hey, have you heard this story about the Heather McPhee? She's associate general counsel for the NFLPA.
No.
She's been there since 2009. She was put on leave. Evidently, several complaints filed against her from people from the NFLPA. She was part of the reason of the other guys before being ouched and being fired and resigning.
Mm-hmm.
She was part of all of that probe with the FBI. She does not have whistleblowing status with the FBI. And now the NFL has put her on leave. I don't know what's going on right now. She was part of the reason. She gave you information to try to clean up shop. Didn't get whistleblowing status.
Right.
And now people in-house are going after her, including the person that took over at the NFLPA now. Seems weird, doesn't it?
Not to me. I mean,
Well, weird in the sense of it's not over right now.
That's what I mean. It's just, you know, it's these things are very complicated. You think that these things don't go on as far as conspiracies, you know, there's political intrigue in every business, and who knows what the hell to do. Who knows? I mean, you just don't know. Something like this.
Yeah, the leave comes months after her allegations helped prompt the federal investigation into the financial dealings of the NFLPA and Major League Baseball's Players Association in relation to a company called One Team Partners. their $2 billion licensing company.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. And now people in the NFLPA, the very people she worked for, are the ones that took her to HR and complaining about her.
Mm. Well, we'll follow it, see where it goes, if it stays in the news, which I'm sure it has to. I mean, if it's out there now.
One of the top stories, yeah. If you go to any website and they go to the NFL section, it's number two or three.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the stories, man. I just think, I said it before, we said it, we've all said it. NFLPA is the weakest union in all sports.
By far.
Maybe one of the weaker unions in the country, to be honest with you. And when you're that weak, you're that weak on purpose. Were they ever working in the interest of the best interest of the players is what I ask. And it seems like to me, just from what I'm read so far, this McPhee lady, Heather McPhee, is holding people accountable,
mm-hmm.
and people don't want to be held accountable.
They don't like it. Look, they don't like it. They don't. Every place I've ever worked, once you start doing that, it gets, you know, people are really shaken up because they're not used to it. They don't like it. You know, the micromanaging, you're a prick, you're this, you're that. No, I just want you to do your job and I'm asking you questions. When you start doing that, it really, really sets people, especially if they're not used to it.
And I think fans love the NFL so much that they're sometimes naive to what's really going on.
Oh, absolutely.
This is not, Ed, I think this is going to be huge, man. This may be something, nothing's going to ruin the NFL. I'm not going that far. But this may be something that shakes it up for a little while.
Yeah.
When you start talking NFL versus NFLPA,
mm-hmm.
and you finding the people in the very union that's supposed to protect the players are not in the best interest of the players. They're lining their own pockets, perhaps. Because I think this is going to come down to people lining their own pockets and just using the players as pieces.
Well, I don't know, but it's very possible because we've seen this with labor unions before. So it's, you don't know.
I had a very prominent player tell me recently when this stuff first started. He said when he retired, he had Roger Goodell's office did more for him
mm-hmm.
than the NFLPA.
Yeah.
Prominent player.
Yeah.
He said Goodell's office did more for him than the NFLPA did in terms of helping him find employment and all those things after with the NFL after his retirement. It came from Goodell. It did not come from the Players Association. That's a problem because I don't pay Goodell to do those things for me. I pay the union.
Yeah, that's right. Goodell represents the owners.
Why do I have to pick up the phone to call Roger Goodell to ask him to do me a favor? He technically speaking, he doesn't have to. He can tell you, hey, man, you know, that's the union. Call them. I'll talk to you later. Have a good one.
Yeah.
So I just think this might be maybe even the shakeup and the cleanup that Players Association needs. Because I don't think they take care of the players at all, especially after they retire. I think that's why the NFL retired players always suing the NFL. Think about it. You're constantly suing the NFL because maybe the union's not taking care of you. You don't have any other leagues with players, retired players, sue the league.
No, you don't have any of the leagues have the problems they have.
Exactly.
I mean, between the CTE and the guys committing suicide, and then, of course, I think I mentioned yesterday or Wednesday, like 78% of NFL players are bankrupt like 3 years after retiring, you know, because they're not protecting these guys, or at least they're not, you know, teaching them how to manage the money they make because their careers are short. So there are issues here.
And that weighs, man, we both know. I mean, we have retirement, 401k. We're not going to get rich off of it unless you do some things on your own. But there are things put in place that we have to save money.
Yeah.
Well, the NFL players don't have that?
Yeah, they do, actually. I know they do because I know that they talk to them when they come in the league and they talk to them about a lot of things, you know, how to avoid trouble, how to manage their money. They actually do that for people, but I don't know how much they follow up with it because I think the league does that.
So they just pencil whip it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's 10 win team from last year stands the best chance to fall? 10 or more wins in 2024? They fall in 2025. We'll talk about that at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, a marathon of a day. Not a game. The game was less than 2.5 hours. The rain delay was almost as long. Orioles baseball up next on The Fan.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
First pitch. Naylor, a ground ball to second. Another chance for Jackson. He'll walk it over to first, and the Orioles take the series from Seattle.
That's Kevin Brown on the call, courtesy of Masson. Not only did the Orioles take the series against the Mariners are hot. They came in hot. Offense was on fire. Not only did they take the series from them, Ed, they held them to 7 runs in the series.
The pitching's been great. You went from, you go from Kramer to Rogers, and then, Sugano yesterday, he pitched a good game. He was 5 innings, 5 1/3, gave up 3 hits. I mean, the pitching has really come through. And who knew Ryan Mountcastle was a Bates stealer?
he has two steals of home. Yeah. Yes. The first one landed him on the IL, though.
But yeah. I mean, I guess it's a good. Who's going to think you see him on third? Oh, yeah. He's going. No. But he does. I think it's hilarious.
The great thing about it was Seattle picked up the play. They knew it was going to be a double steal. Mm-hmm. The middle infielder cut off the throw and threw it home. Mountcastle still beat it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as if. Seattle was caught not paying attention. They knew the play was on, and they still were able to do it. Sugano has 10 wins on the year. Tomo Sugano is 10-5 with a 4.13 earned run average. That is called respectable numbers.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely.
That is – dude. Yeah. I mean, it looked like baseball had figured him out, and he was on his way to becoming this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Now all of a sudden, fans are asking, think they resign him and put him in the bullpen? Right. He goes 5 1/3, 1 run, 3 hits, 2 strikeouts, and a walk.
Yeah.
When you can do that without a lot of strikeouts, that's called pitching.
He's a pitcher. He's not a thrower. I mean, the guy doesn't throw 99 miles an hour. He barely throws 89. I mean, he can pitch, though. I mean, I really like him. I really do. He's been a nice surprise in a year of unpleasant surprises.
Orioles did it without getting a lot of hits. They only had 4 hits on a day. They walked 7 times, though. That was the key. That's something that Orioles pitching was doing early in the season.
Yeah. Only struck out 4 times, which is unusual for them.
Yeah. They took care of business yesterday. No home runs, but they won 5-3 after a long, long rain delay, my friend.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that was long. I didn't get to Houston last night to mid. Well,
oh, that's right. You guys had a
midnight
travel.
This time, yeah. Which was 1 o'clock your time.
Oof.
Yeah, we were there. We were in hold. We were on the plane in a holding pattern for I want to say over an hour.
Over Houston, waiting to land.
No, we were. I'm sorry, that holding pattern is waiting to land. We didn't take off from Baltimore.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, you're right. Wrong words. We didn't take off from Baltimore. We were sitting there in Baltimore for over an hour.
Sat in the tarmac. Had, yeah.
Before we took off. Yeah, it was just and. It's one of those things you can't complain because you have your window to take off based on estimated time of the game. So when that window gets expanded by 2.5 hours,
right?
Now air traffic control's got to do their job.
Yeah.
So they have to find another window for you to take off with these other flights that are scheduled to take off. You can't, all take off at the same time.
No.
So when they found the window for us to take off, we did, and. Like I said, I got here after midnight Houston time again, which was like after 1.
Take off
time.
When it's safe. I'll sit here. I'm good.
I'll sit here. Oh, and listen, between you and I, Ed, nobody's listening, right?
No.
Between you and I. Like, sitting on the airplane ain't sitting on the plane.
Right.
Your food is free.
Yeah.
They give you drinks if you want. You got free Wi-Fi. It's a little different.
It's a lot different.
Yeah. I wasn't uncomfortable in sweating. The seats are a little wider.
It's like flying first class all the time.
That's what it is. Yeah. So I'll sit here. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it was Jeff Arnold looked at me like, dude, you're going to be tired. I said, Jeff. I just hit the button and rock back in my seat. I said, no, I'm not.
Right.
No, I'm not, Jeff. I said, if you turn that way, I'm going to sleep. Mm-hmm. And I did. I went to sleep.
Yeah.
As soon as the plane took off.
I'd sleep on every flight I take anyway. So I would really enjoy that.
To his defense, he didn't bother me mm-hmm. when I was asleep. But when we landed, we were walking and talking. He said, dude, that's a gift. I said, what? Being able to sleep on a plane. He said, I can't do it. And then Kevin Brown jumped in. All these guys can't sleep on a plane.
I've heard that from a lot of people. Like Celeste can't. She gets nervous. As soon as that plane, I don't know if it's because there's less oxygen. The air is a little thinner when you take off or just the rocking. I go right to sleep before we hit 10,000 feet. I am out.
If I'm tired, I'm out. Now, sometimes if I'm not tired, I will say this. The majority of the time when I'm taking off from home, mm-hmm. At the beginning of the trip, I'm tired. I think a lot of that is because I've had a long day anyway. But when we come back home, I won't sleep. I'll watch a movie the whole mm-hmm. time. I won't sleep. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a little different yesterday. So I got about 2-hour nap. I'm on about 2 hours right now.
Yeah, it's Friday.
You know, I ain't complaining.
No.
They didn't give me a shovel to do this job. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Shocked that the Orioles were able to cool off the Mariners, taking 2 out of 3 against them.
Not really. It's baseball. I'm happy. I'm shocked. I'm surprised. I didn't think they would. I thought it would be another. You know, they'd win one in a 3-game series. But I am happy they did. And it's baseball. I mean, you know, we see this all the time. The Rockies end up beating people. The White Sox beat people. The Orioles can beat people. It happens. I'm just, you know, I'll take little victories where we have them, and this is one of them.
This series at Houston is going to be a little different. Houston's been different since Carlos Correa came back. He's been different since he came back as well. I'm looking forward to this series. I've been to this stadium before, mm-hmm. Ed, but I've never worked in this stadium. So this is
I am surprised how good the pitching has been.
Oh, the Orioles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is – to get 3 good outings in a row
– against that team.
Against that team, who are hot, and it's a 67-win team, and you know they're pretty good on the road. You know, they're 500 on the road. It was impressive. They really look good.
I thought hitting was clutch, if not a lot of it, was clutch. When they mm-hmm. had the opportunities, often they took advantage of it. They took advantage of it enough, I should say. To be able to score. I mean, you held this team to 7 runs in 3 games.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mariners couldn't wait to get out of Baltimore. That's just how it was. I think what we're seeing, though, in a word that Jeremy Kahn would use, there are a lot of warts in that bullpen. Yeah. There's some warts in that bullpen. I was, yesterday, when Ends was in the game, I was praying, please finish this game. I did not want to see Cano. I didn't. And to me, that ninth inning was proof that they lost faith in Cano because Ends was in trouble and they let him pitch his way out of it. Normally you go to Cano, but he was in trouble, put some runners on. They get bases loaded at one point with one out and they left him in a game for him to figure it out. That one play, I don't know if you saw it in the ninth inning, you may have seen it, Joe, where the ground ball hit the Jackson Holiday and they had a chance to turn the double play and they didn't. To me, that error is on Jackson Holiday because Gunner was almost at third base. He was playing so far in the hole. He was almost at third base. There's no way Gunner is getting to second base to turn that double play. Jackson's got to get that and turn that double play himself. That was on him. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Do you think the Ravens give Keaton Mitchell as many touches as they did in the first preseason game? We'll talk about that at 6:45, but on the other side, the Ravens canceled their joint practice with the Commanders, citing logistical challenges and added strain on players. Is this a big deal to know? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Sometimes just, you know, schedules don't sync up as it hits, and so I visited with John last night, and he's always choosing the best choices for the players. We're bummed. We got a lot of respect for them, and we're looking forward to it. But we'll get to see him a couple days later after that.
That's Dan Quinn, head coach of the Washington Commanders, on the joint practice being canceled due to quote unquote logistical challenges, and also another quote, added strain on players. And I talked to some people who cover the team, Ed, and because logistics and added strain, to me, it's good language, because you kind of get an idea, it paints a picture as to what was really going on there. And from my understanding, the Commanders practiced super early in the morning. And they really weren't trying to move that around, which means the Ravens would have had to stay tonight Wednesday and Thursday, perhaps, to play against them, to have a scrimmage against them or joint practice against them, which really would have put them out of would have put a strain on them. Logistics just didn't work. It was just that simple. John Harbaugh, from my understanding, just didn't feel like it was worth it with them not being able to change things around on how they practice. Their practice didn't line up with what the Ravens wanted to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's to me, it's not a big deal. I don't know what the logistical strain. It's not that far. So I mean, usually they pick. Well, that's not true. They've done it with the Jaguars. So I mean, it's not always a. They just did it with the Colts because they were playing here. So I don't know what the real logistic strain was, but if that's what they're saying, that's fine. But it's not that big a deal.
Oh, they practice in Ashbury,
yeah,
Virginia.
Yep. Yeah. So it's, you know. It's certainly closer to Indianapolis or Jacksonville, Florida. So it's not that big a deal. But I mean, I like the joint practices. I think you get a lot out of them. But they had it with the Colts already. They're not going to have it against the Commanders. So no big deal. I would have liked to see it, though, because I do like, and I would have gone to those. I do like those practices a lot.
I don't think it was the distance as much as it was the time of the practice to start.
Yeah.
And then with the time the practice to start, now you're putting us in a hotel probably another night because we're not getting up and traveling at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning to come down and do a joint practice. Therefore, we're probably staying overnight an extra night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things like that you just don't want to do. I mean, I don't blame them. I don't, you know what I mean? I'm going to be on the road enough. I don't want to put an extra day on the road just to have a joint practice. Mm-hmm. I'll be fine. And the one thing I don't like is your starters aren't getting those reps now. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I don't like about it.
Yeah, and it's you mentioned the practice. They practice early. The Ravens practice late.
Right.
And apparently Lamar likes to sleep in, does not like to practice early. So they don't. That's what the word I had gotten. They practice later in the day. They have afternoon practices because it's what, you know, that's when he likes it, and they start to be comfortable. So that's when they do it.
Yeah, there was some like eye rolls about it early on, but now they're starting to like it.
You
have to sleep in and do some things.
Yeah, I wouldn't want
early morning practice.
I would because the heat of the day. You don't want to be out there when it's 97 degrees and full pads, but I'd much rather be out in the morning, but that's how they do it.
Yeah, physically, like people say they – ask me, how do you work out when you're in work so early? Mm-hmm. That's normally when people work out. That's not when I work out. I don't want to work out early in the morning. I don't want to do anything physical. If this job were physical and we got up this morning, I'd have a problem. But because it's not, I don't really feel like doing a whole lot of physical activity that early in the morning.
I know. See, I like getting out of the way. I used to, when I could do it, when I worked normal hours, like I'd go to the gym. I went to karate pretty much every three to 5 days a week at 7 in the morning. You know, vigorous workout, obviously. And then I'd take a shower, put on my suit, and go to work. And I was, because then I ate better during the day. I just felt better. I'd like it that way, but I can't do it now, obviously. I'd be working out at 3 a.m.
My best workouts were when I worked what they call swing shift. I worked more of my shift, 3 in the afternoon to 1 in the morning.
Mm.
I would get off work then and work out.
Yep.
And then go to bed. I loved it. I mean, it was after the day. So I would be with Lamar. I don't want to get up early in the morning and practice the football. Crazy that. Mm-hmm. My high school football coach was like that. Our practice was like 7 o'clock in the morning. I hated it. I absolutely hated it. When he took over, I was already I'm glad that I was already established because I wouldn't have impressed anybody if he did that my sophomore year. Because I'm not at my best that early in the morning physically.
Yeah.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Are you concerned with maybe the starters maybe losing those reps now?
Nah. They weren't going to get many reps anyway.
I mean, in the joint practice, they would have.
No, they would have. But, I mean, they're not getting many reps preseason. They have the joint practice. They've had a game already. You know, I'd rather see them rested. They know how to play this game. I'm not that old, all that concerned about it. I would have, put it this way. I would have preferred the joint practice because I like them. I get a lot out of them. I think the players get a lot. I like watching them. We see the starters, even in the drills. Go, you know, it's. I think they're effective, but frankly, nah, no big deal. And if the teams feel that you know they can do without, then I'm fine with it.
And for those of you, before you criticize, why couldn't the Ravens just move their practice? Well, why couldn't the Commanders? The same reason the Commanders don't want to move theirs is the reason the Ravens don't want. They get used to this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't want anything to take you out of sorts. We're used to practicing this time of day. The last thing you need is somebody to go out there and turn an ankle, do something stupid.
Yep.
And then for the criticism to be, well, you know, they're not used to practicing at this time of day. Same reason the Commanders don't want to do it. Is the reason the Ravens don't. This is what we do. We don't want to change it. Therefore, okay, we'll cancel the joint practice. No problem. Nobody's getting upset.
No big deal.
Yeah. I'm not getting upset about it. We get it. You don't want to change the time. And I get it. You know, I think the Ravens know what they're doing in this. In as far as this is concerned. They've been doing it for a while. John Harbaugh has been doing it for a while. He has the finger on the pulse of his team. And I don't think this is what they wanted to do, practice early in the morning, get down there, or stay an extra night down.
So
they can be in Virginia, for goodness sakes. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. What are you expecting from preseason game number two, though, in Dallas?
I'm expecting some bubble players to I'd just like to see if someone's going to make an impact where they're, you know, they're going to secure themselves a spot on the 53. That's all I'm looking for, because you know, I don't believe you're going to see any of the starters. Or many.
I don't want to see any of them.
I don't either. So I think you're going to see guys on the bubble, you know, guys who would, I want to see if someone can make enough of a difference to say, oh, you know, get some attention. Because you don't get a lot of reps in these games anyway. No. But now you will because the starters won't be playing. I just want to see what happens. A guy like Rasheen Ali, I'd like to see what he can do. Because, you know, that's a crowded running back room now. So I just want to know, you know, what he's going to do. The offensive lineman, I think, is secure because there's not many of them, but, you know, maybe see, you know, what some of those guys look like. I guess that's about it. Just see like, what the bubble players do to secure themselves a spot on the team.
I can't remember who said it early in the week, but I agree with him, with Rasheen Ali. It may have been Kim McCusick. A lot of teams have a Rasheen Ali. A lot of teams do, and I think running back to that position where it's easy to find a home if you're released, but it's also very crowded as well.
Yeah.
There are a lot of talented running backs in the National Football League. They're not a special running backs in the National Football League, but talent-wise, it's a lot of talented running backs.
Yeah.
I would love for him to be able to stay, but if they can't keep him, I would love for him to go out there and find a job because there's somebody who needs one. So for depth or for something, they need him at least. I don't know where he could start. But I know there's some teams he can go and be a part of their depth and they actually get an opportunity. I don't think he's going to get that opportunity here. Not anytime soon.
Yeah, no, not with this room.
410-583-1057 is the number. Commissions Baltimore 715. Clubhouse Connection at 730. But on the other side, do you think the Ravens give, speaking of running backs, Keaton Mitchell as many touches as they did in the first preseason game? Would you sit him completely just to make sure that he doesn't get hurt? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I am broadcasting live from Houston, Texas, in our Odyssey Studios. Ed is holding it down in Baltimore, and the Baltimore Ravens getting ready for preseason game number two against the Dallas Cowboys. You know, Keaton Mitchell, against the Indy Colts, had 9 carries for 68 yards, just under 8 yards a carry. He also had a touchdown. Ed, do you see him getting as many as 9 carries again in preseason game number 2?
I don't think he's going to play. I think if he does, if we get a handful, I don't think he's going to play. I think you'll see, you know, you'll see Ali, you'll see somebody like that. I don't think he's going to get much activity at all.
He goes in the category of the ones you just want to be healthy week one.
Want him healthy, seriously. I want him healthy week one. We know what he can do. He looks like he's back to 2023 form. Why? You know what I mean? Why? You know, even a non-contact injury could do it. Why?
Those are the worst.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I just, no.
So. Yeah, I'm okay if he doesn't play at all. In fact, I don't want him to play. I'm not even going to be put in the category of being okay. I don't want him to play. I think Keaton Mitchell is a big, big piece of your success.
So do I.
If 3 running backs that shouldn't play tomorrow, he's one of them.
Well, I want to see Derrick Henry in a hoodie. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see him in pads, and I'm sure that's what's going to happen. I don't want to see Keaton Mitchell play. Justice Hill, maybe a couple snaps.
I don't either,
but I mean, somebody's got to play the game. They only have 4 running backs on the roster. So,
nah, if you're going to tell me between Justice Hill and Keaton Mitchell, then play Keaton Mitchell. I don't, Justice Hill is just way too important to this football team.
I think they both are, honestly. And I don't know if there's a clear number 2 here. So,
I mean, you got Myles Gaskin. He's not hurt, is he?
Johnson. So. Ali's questionable, you know, and there's a couple of guys who may make the team, may not. So they're going to start cutting down.
Yeah, let those guys have it. Let them eat. Let them eat. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. We've seen some craziness happen in this preseason in terms of some of these injuries. This was a game. Week one, a game was stopped in the fourth quarter with, 6-something left? 6 minutes and some change left because of a gruesome injury.
Yeah.
And everybody said, look, we're not going to finish this game, which was smart, but it's reason that I only recall one game in the history of me watching the NFL that got stopped because of an injury in the regular season. And that was the Buffalo Bills with Hamlin.
Hamlin, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only time I ever saw a game get stopped because of an injury.
Well, that was an extraordinary circumstance, man. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that was, you know, that's called being human.
You know,
I thought that was the best thing for them to do. It showed some signs of humanity from this. Yeah, it's a gladiator sport. But, you know, we're humans. We have families at home, and people love us. They don't want to see us play the rest of this game right now. Not with somebody dying on the field. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. One of the things I've always said that I love about the Baltimore Ravens in the preseason is they prove every year that their backups are better than yours.
Say it again?
They prove every year that their backups are better than yours.
Sure.
And to me, I'll say again, it's taking nothing away from the coaching staff. It goes back to drafting. It goes back to free agent signings. It goes back to what you have on your – what I have on my roster versus what you have on your roster.
Yeah. Yes.
Because none of us are running anything sophisticated in August. So this is about my talent is better than your talent, Ed.
Mm-hmm. And that's basically true. And it's a well-constructed team. It really is a well-constructed team. You look up and down the roster. It's just, you got to give credit where it's due.
How much attention do you think has to go into the way they construct this roster? How much time and attention do you think goes into that?
Oh, tremendous amount of time. Tremendous. You know, I remember being, well, I've seen DaCosta, I've seen Harbaugh do it. You know, he actually let me check out their draft board and room once after they were finished with their meeting, obviously. I didn't get to hear what was said. But they were at they had all the coaches at the restaurant. It was Ruth Chris in Pikesville. And when it was done, I said, come on in. And I just looked around at the names and the notes. And they were in there for hours. And that's just one day. I mean, that's just when it was getting to crunch time. So, and then I was in Ozzie's room once, his office. And he had a board on his wall. It was the entire wall of his office was different players, and they had like the little helmets next to them from what teams they were on and people they were looking at. And it's a lot. I mean, it's just tremendous. And it's, and it shows. I mean, you see how much work they put into it. And not only that, they're really good at it. They put the work in, but they're better than most, if not at all.
I agree. I think in terms, number one, in order to do that, you have to have your way of doing it. I loved on draft time when people say, well, they can't get him. He wasn't that high on the board. Whose board? Mel Kiper's board?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not about that. They have their own board, and they go based on their board. So who Mel Kiper may have as number four may be number 14 on their board. You never know, because it's a combination of, if Mel Kiper has a quarterback number one, that guy's not number one on the Ravens board. He's not. Because, you know, when people say, well, they draft, are they drafting need or are they drafting best player available? There's no difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because your best player available is based on your need. Because you're not going to have a quarterback at number one. You're just not. You're not going to have a wide receiver nowadays at number one. You don't need one. So in order to assess your needs and to determine all of those things, all the people that are working, I think it takes a tremendous amount of meetings and correspondence and communication. I'm impressed by what they do because they seem to every year get it right. There's never been a bad year. Now, you can sit here and say there's been a bad pick or two, but there's never been, in my opinion, a bad year.
No, not a bad year. And they don't – you got to look at the whole body of work. Seriously, the entire body of work. It's consistently good. You'll have a guy here and there who don't work out. That's different. I mean, that's a totally different thing. But you know, overall, they're really successful with it. They're very good at this. They have been very good at this for a long time. So I don't know what to say except, DaCosta gives the coaching staff a really good team to work with. You know, what happens with, and they've been successful. They just haven't gone, you know, they haven't been successful postseason, but they've been a very successful franchise, I think, because they constructed so well, and they have been for a really long time.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Clubhouse Connection at 7:30. But on the other side, 15 teams in the National Football League won 10 or more games in 2024. In fact, each divisional winner in 2024 won at least 10 games. Out of those 15 teams, who takes the biggest fall in 2025? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.